Just suppose that God had searched through heaven and couldn't find one willing to be the supreme sacrifice that was needed to buy eternal life for you and me.
Had it not been for a place called Mount Calvary, had it not been for the old rugged cross, had it not been for a man called Jesus, then forever my soul would be lost.
Oh, I'm so glad he was willing to drink this bitter cup. Oh, how he prayed, Father, let it pass from me. And I'm so glad he didn't call heaven's angels from my hands to pull these nails that torment me.
Not been for a place called Mount Calvary, had it not been for the old rugged cross, had it not been for a man called Jesus, then forever.
His way of Anyway, again, good morning, everybody. I've got a good message as far as throwing myself under the bus. So it's, for me, this message. But don't, when I preach it, don't say, well, that was for me. And you look in the mirror yourself now. I'm preaching this to myself. So my first scripture that I want him to put up is Proverbs 14, 26, 27. I'm going to change back and forth here. Of two, a little bit of something else in the beginning here. It says, in the fear of the Lord is strong confidence, and his children shall have a place of refuge. See, that doesn't mean that there is no trouble. It just says that you'll have protection if there is trouble. This is what this is talking about. And in the fear of the Lord, here, the fear of the Lord is the reverence. When the Bible talks about fearing the Lord, it's talking about reverence, not actual the fear that we talk about when you're shaking in your boots kind of fear. It is to reverence. When you have reverence for the law of the Lord and the Lord, he is his children have a place of refuge. And then the next part is a very, very good verse. And it's the secret to long life. Now listen to this. The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life. The next part is important. To depart from the snares of death. So how do you depart from the snares of death? Look, that means premature deaths. That's what the snares of deaths here are called. The Apostle Paul talks about it in Corinthians where he says, that's why some of you are sick. That's why some of you sleep, because you're not living right. So here, King Solomon, which is the wisest man to ever walk on the face of the earth, had this parable, this proverb. The fear of the Lord is the fountain of life, to depart from the snares of death. So death, life can throw snares at you, and some of them have death in them. And my people, and I have other scriptures to back this up, so I'll get into them later. So, and another one is Proverbs 14, verse 30. A sound heart is life of the flesh, but envy is the rottenness of bones. What's the rottenness of bones? Have you ever thought of that? If in today's terms, what would you call rottenness of bones? That's cancer. That's diseases in the body. And where do they come from? Not from what you ate. It comes from envy. There's also other sicknesses that come from unforgiveness, from hatred. There's all kinds of sicknesses that are tied in with those kinds of demonic spirits, which are envy, hatred, unforgiveness. So clear your heart. Clear. The least you can do that's in your control is clear your heart from any of those things. Unforgiveness is bad. If you harbor unforgiveness towards a brother or sister or anybody, you are not helping yourself. It's basically, I've said it before, I'll say it again, it is poison that you're drinking, but you hope somebody else will die. That's what unforgiveness is. So before I get into the next part of my message, let's rise and ask the Lord for his blessings. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much again for your grace this morning, for allowing those to come that have come to church, Lord, that they will be blessed, that we will take rebuke, that we will take chastisement. Lord, you say you chastise those whom you love. And Lord, we take chastisement as knowing that we are your children and we can expect it, especially if we're not living right. So you will bless us, our understanding, open our eyes, so that we may become fruitful in every good work and in every fruit. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. So our biggest problem that we have amongst the church, to my opinion, is a lack of studying God's word and a lack of educating ourselves what the Bible has to say. There's a reason it's called God's Word. It's the best-selling book ever. There is not even a book that comes remotely close to the amount of books the Bible has sold as far as numbers are concerned. You can do your own research, but it's so far ahead. There's a reason for that. God has made sure the availability of his Word is there. But do we care? It's sort of like dandelions. Everybody loves to hate them, but I'm wondering what's in them that is really good for us. Suckers are all over the place. But I'm sure there's something that is in them that God is saying, listen, this is something I'm giving you, but you want, we've made wine, dandelion wine, that's pretty good. But I'm sure there's other benefits to it. It's an herb that has life, God-given life in it for our health, and I'm sure there is even more to them. The Bible reminds me a bit of that people are, it's all around us, the Bible, and that people are disregarding it. There was a recent study done that showed that less than 20%, I think I went high intentionally, but I think it's less than 20% of the people who call themselves Christians read the Word of God daily. Do you read the Word of God every morning? Not as a religion or as a devotion, but something that you do because you love doing it. It's, you have to do it. Not that you have to do it, but you want to do it, is what I want to say. Do you do it for that purpose? If you do not get into the Word of God to get to know God and Jesus, you're doing it for the wrong reason. And if you're not doing it every day, then you are lacking some major food for your life. Stop eating meat or stop eating food for a while. See what your body becomes. It's the same thing you're doing to your spirit. You're starving it. And that's what we have. We have a church full of starving people who are walking around who do not have the necessary nutrition that they need to have healthy souls. So we're dying. In Proverbs 28:18, it says, really throw that up, where there is no vision, the people perish. Again, where do you get this scripture from? You get it from the Word of God. We die because we have no vision. And jumping to Hosea 4, verse 6, it says, my people are destroyed for their lack of knowledge. Why? Think about it for yourself. I'm looking at my own life. We're destroyed because we lack knowledge. What kind of knowledge is he talking about? Knowledge that pertains to your spiritual life, to your physical life, and to your eternal life. We lack knowledge, so that's why we cannot fight properly. How many armies would go to war who have not done their homework properly and study the enemy? Study the master, what his plans are, even more than you do the enemy, but get to know both. And we need to do our due diligence when it comes to living victorious lives and being an example to others so that they may want what we have. And again, I'm not talking from a religious perspective. I'm talking from a spiritual, where you're plugged into the Holy Spirit and have a supernatural glow about you that only the Holy Spirit can give. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because you have rejected knowledge, I will also reject you, that you will not be no priest to me, seeing you have forgotten the law of your God. I will also forget your children. That's the next step. Your children are forgotten because we have, as parents, have forgotten knowledge and have forgotten how to plug into God. Don't kid yourself. Your kids can see right through you. If you are a pretender, they will see that very quickly, that you are a pretentious person. And again, I'm not doing this to discourage you. I'm looking at myself in the mirror and I want to be bona fide. I want to be true to myself in how I walk with Christ. Jesus sees everything that I am in secret. What I am in dark, that's what I really am. What I do in secret, that's who I really am. That's who I portray myself in public. Because you can only pretend so long. It's easy to pretend for a few minutes when you meet somebody to be a good person. But what are you the rest of the time? In Proverbs 18, I'm going to switch a little bit to the tongue. I've had a message before about our tongue, how deadly they are. Proverbs 18:21, in King James Version, it starts with this. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. So if you have nothing good to say, don't say it. Be quiet. If it's not edifying, don't say it. Refrain. Think twice. There's a rule that carpenters have. I'm sure Rob knows about this. Measure twice, cut once. So that's what you do with your tongue before you speak. Think twice before you say something. It's like a bullet that you shoot out of your gun. Once that thing is gone, you cannot retrieve it. That's how deadly the tongue is. Once you say something about somebody, especially if it's character assassination or where you come against them where it's not even true, So think twice. Walk in the person's shoes that you're running to see if you are even qualify. We never qualify to say anything about anybody. The reason God gives us revelation about somebody else is not to criticize him, it's to uplift him in prayer. If you do it for any other reason, it is not to criticize. Never does God give you an exhortation or something to criticize somebody, but only to uplift them and to bring them before the Lord in prayer. So in James 3, verse 5 to 10, King James Version, says this, "Even so the tongue is a little member and boasts great things. Behold, how great a matter of a little fire kindles. The tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members." I think I can say we're probably all guilty at one time or another for running our tongues, where we've said something and have regretted it almost the second it was out of our mouth, especially if it was running somebody else that we know nothing about, only secondhand information. So is the tongue among our members, that it defiles the whole body. It sets on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire of hell. Man, this is strong. For every kind of beast and of birds and of serpents and of things in the sea, people have tamed them. They have been tamed of mankind, but the tongue can no man tame. It needs the power of the Holy Spirit, and you have to plug into that to tame your tongue. If you do not do that, you will, as strong as you are, you think you are, you will fail at containing your tongue somewhere. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison, wherewith we bless God, even the Father, and therewith we curse men, which are made after the likeness of God. Out of the same mouth proceeds blessing and cursing. My brethren and sisters, this ought not to be so. He's talking to the church here. Thank you, Jesus. Lord Jesus, I ask for forgiveness if I have hurt anybody. If you have caused my lips to speak swelling words or slander towards anybody, Father, in Jesus' name, I ask for forgiveness for anybody. If I've hurt anybody here, anybody on the air, anybody everywhere, anywhere. At work, oh God, I ask that you will forgive and that you will set our path straight, all of us, that we will walk worthy before you, that we will become lights instead of places of darkness where Satan is mixed in with our blessing you, and yet we curse men. So Lord Jesus, you will forgive us. You will help us heal as a church body, and that we will be united in one with the power of the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for this. Lord God, you will bless and be with us. This concludes my part of the service. Brother Pastor Dave will take over here.
Hallelujah. I was watching something interesting this week in Calgary, Alberta. This young guy was handing out Bibles at a university. And this LGBTQFWZ, whatever, bunch marched in. They received the Bible, and they started burning him, ripping him apart and burning him and stepping on them. And guess what? The cops came and arrested the young guy for passing out Bibles. Somebody should have burned the Quran. See, he would have gotten arrested. I have a feeling it wouldn't have been the guy who gave it to him. You burn a Quran, your life is on the line from the government. So, God will have to take care of these devils. And he will. Time is coming. Time is short. They better know that. Today for a message, the last two Sundays, I was giving you messages that basically give you freedom, if you thought about it, that some people can't comprehend. But today, the Lord has given me a message on how that freedom works before you can really trust in it or trust yourself in it. Romans 12, verse 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your body a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your what? Your reasonable service. Once you become a Christian, that's your reasonable service. You give your life, heart, body to God. And not be conformed to this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of the Lord. So you have to renew your mind. That's how it starts. You have to change things. You, regardless how long you've been a Christian, you'll still have something to change, like Brother James preached here. There's always be something. The tongue is a loose thing that sometimes has nobody knows how to tame it, but we got to work at it. You got to, and it has to be not a law that you have to work at it. It's got to be something from within where God reminds you or convicts you. Your tongue is speaking too much, or your eyes are looking at the wrong stuff. You're spending too much time in front of a TV where you watch stuff that you shouldn't. Because the stuff they have on TV nowadays is not only R-rated, it's devil-rated. So be careful, your children of God. And God is not mocked. What you will show, so you will also reap. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Always remember, when you're not pleasing to God, you're running something after somebody else, something else. You're slandering a person. It's not flesh and blood. It's being instigated by Satan himself. So you have to see behind the person. You have to see beneath him, and you will know who you're supposed to fight against. You need to pray for him. Put on that armor of God so that you will understand. You fight not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. It's the biggest power besides God on earth. And we in ourselves have no power to fight him. We need the Holy Spirit. In 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of God. That's pretty tough, but you can do it. As you grow older, it becomes a habit. One of the main things are, read your Bible. James was telling us to read the Bible at least once a day, even if it's only a couple of verses. Let God minister to your heart. A lot of Christians are Bible illiterate. You look at some of those preachers on TV, you know for a fact they have not studied the Bible. They listen to somebody else, or they just take a few sentences out. They don't compare scripture with scripture. And then they preach to the world as if they are God's chosen. So be careful. Study the word. Check out what the word says. The Bible teaches, my word is above my name. In the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. And that was in the beginning with God. So you can't go wrong when you quote scripture. Don't try to argue with a guy too much. Quote a little scripture. See how fast they shut up. I tried that not too long ago with a friend of mine. Just quoted him a scripture, and the subject all of a sudden changed. Why? The person is Bible illiterate. He's been reading what other people tell him or teach him through those books. That's why the Hutterites don't seem to come to Christ. They read what other people wrote. Those who dare read the Bible, it doesn't take long. They come to know the Lord. Have you ever heard of a guy who said, I became a Christian by listening in church to the old sermons of yesteryear? I don't believe I ever have. Maybe there's some good in it, but there's also quite a bit of poison. And then in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 6, and having in readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. So when you're obedient, then you can start helping others being obedient. How many of us would be cut out here to help others to be obedient to God? I've tried throughout my life. I know I've been failing in many cases, but I still feel God is my master. God is my representative. He's the one that leads me. So I try to revenge disobedience. Sometimes you figure it's none of your business, but the Bible teaches your brother and sister are your business. You should try to help them and teach them. And when your obedience is fulfilled in your own heart, it's so much easier. So let the Lord open your heart to this. Look at yourself. Don't try to do it on your own. God has to be the author and finisher of our faith. It's God that gives us the insight. So let the Lord open your heart to this and make you a blessing. Amen.
Go and tell the world the party's over. Get your house in order for the coming of the sun. The good news is that when the party's over for the world, celebration for the saints has just begun. The old king gave a party, brought the vessels of the Lord. They drank till nobody there was sober.
What really stopped the band was when God sent a hand that wrote upon the wall, "The party's over. Go and tell the world the party's over. Get your house in order for the coming of the sun. The good news is that when the party's over for the world, celebration for the saints has just begun." Some people think that life is just a party. Forget tomorrow, live it up, they say. But if they'll look around, they'll see the ship is going down. The lifeboat's waiting, get on board today. Go and tell the world the party's over. Get your house in order for the coming of the sun. The good news is that when the party's over for the world, celebration for the saints has just begun. The good news is that when the party's over for the world, celebration for the saints has just begun.